Howdy neighbors, this is Phil Hudak. Welcome to Prove All Things. Today is May 7th, 2020. I have two exciting videos to show you. I will have commentary at the end of each video. The first video is by award-winning filmmaker Mickey Willis, and he is interviewing Dr. Judy Mikovits. So stay tuned.
Dr. Judy Mikovits has been called one of the most accomplished scientists of her generation. Her 1991 doctoral thesis revolutionized the treatment of HIV/AIDS. At the height of her career, Dr. Mikovits published a blockbuster article in the journal Science. The controversial article sent shockwaves through the scientific community as it revealed that the common use of animal and human fetal tissues were unleashing devastating plagues of chronic diseases. For exposing their deadly secrets, the minions of Big Pharma waged war on Dr. Mikovits, destroying her good name, career, and personal life. Now, as the fate of nations hang in the balance, Dr. Mikovits is naming names of those behind the plague of corruption that places all human life in danger. So you made a discovery that conflicted with the agreed-upon narrative.
Correct.
And for that, they did everything in their powers to destroy your life.
Correct.
You were arrested.
Correct.
And then you were put under a gag order.
For 5 years, if I went on social media, if I said anything at all, they would find new evidence and put me back in jail. And it was one of the few times I cried. And it was because I knew there was no evidence the first time. And when you can unleash that kind of force to force someone into bankruptcy with a perfect credit score, and so that I couldn't bring my 97 witnesses, which included the heads, Tony Fauci, you know, Ian Lipkin, the heads of the public health in HHS, who would have had to testify that we did absolutely nothing wrong.
And so what did they charge you with?
Nothing.
But you were in jail.
I was held in jail with no charges. I was called a fugitive from justice. No warrant, literally drugged me out of the house. Our neighbors are looking at what's going on here. You know, they searched my house without a warrant, literally terrorized my husband for 5 days. They said, if you don't find the notebooks, if you don't find the material, which was not in my possession, but planted in my house.
As if you took intellectual property from the laboratory. Is
yes.
that correct?
It was intended to appear as if I took confidential material, names, and intellectual property from the laboratory. And I could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that I didn't. Heads of our entire HHS colluded and destroyed my reputation, and the Department of Justice and the FBI sat on it and kept that case under seal, which means you can't say there's a case or your lawyers are held in contempt of court. So you can't even get a lawyer to defend you. So every single due process right was taken away from me, and to this day remains the same. I have no constitutional freedoms or rights.
Yet you sit here. I think a lot of people would probably have just taken the retirement out early, laid low, but you have decided to come forth when your gag order has been released to write a book called Plague of Corruption, Restoring Faith in the Promise of Science, and you are naming names.
Absolutely.
Apparently, their attempt to silence you has failed. And I have to ask, how do you sit here with confidence to call out these great forces and not fear for your life as you leave this building?
Because if we don't stop this now, we can not only forget our republic and our freedom, but we can forget humanity because we'll be killed by this agenda.
So, Anthony Fauci.
My name is Dr. Tony Fauci. I'm the director of
the man who is heading the pandemic task force was involved in a cover-up.
He directed the cover-up. And in fact, everybody else was paid off, and paid off big time. Millions of dollars in funding from Tony Fauci, Tony Fauci's organization, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. These investigators that committed the fraud continue to this day to be paid big time by the NIAID.
And the whole world is listening to his advice for how to handle this current pandemic. How do we know that what he's saying is what we need to be learning?
What he's saying is absolute propaganda, and the same kind of propaganda that he's perpetrated to kill millions since 1984.
We know from this study quite clearly that there will be a delay in progression significantly greater than for individuals who do not take the drug.
It started really when I was 25 years old. I was part of the team that isolated HIV from the saliva and blood of the patients from France, where Luc Montagnier had originally isolated the virus. This was a confirmatory study, but Tony Fauci and Robert Gallo were working together then to spin the story in a different way. At that time, Dr. Rossetti was out of town, and Tony Fauci says, we understand that you have a paper in press, and we want a copy of it. And I said, yes, there's a paper in press, and it's confidential, and no, I will not give you a copy of it. He started screaming at me, then he said, give us the paper right now, or you'll be fired for insubordination. And I just said, I'm sure when Dr. Rossetti gets back, you can have the conversation. And so Frank comes back, several weeks later, and is really bullied into giving Fauci the paper. Fauci holds up the publication of the paper for several months, while Robert Gallo writes his own paper and takes all the credit, and of course patents are involved. This delay of the confirmation, literally led to spreading the virus around, killing millions.
Perhaps no one expressed the anguish of AIDS better than New York writer Larry Kramer. But he was even more angry at the federal government and the pharmaceutical industry. One person who felt Kramer's fury was NIH Dr. Anthony Fauci.
He called Tony Fauci the Bernie Madoff of science. It's still been crushing to me to think that I didn't know my work in 1999 was something that had been avoided. From 83 and 82, when the virus was isolated, the virus didn't have to wait until 84 to be confirmed. Think of how many people, the entire continent of Africa, lost a generation as that virus was spread through because of the arrogance of a group of people, and it includes Robert Redfield, who's now the head of the CDC. Right along with Tony Fauci. They were working together to take credit and make money, and they had the patents on it and tailored them to IL-2 therapy, which was absolutely the wrong therapy. And had that not happened, millions wouldn't have died from HIV.
How can a man who's giving, any person who's giving global advice for health own a patent in the solution in the vaccine? Isn't that a conflict of interest, or shouldn't it be?
It is a conflict of interest. And in fact, this is one of the things that I've been saying and would like to say to President Trump: repeal the Bayh-Dole Act.
Bayh-Dole fundamentally changed the way universities approach technology transfer. And you can see that best in the statistics. Universities obtain 16 times as many patents today as they did in 1980. Now, everybody's getting more patents, but still, universities' share of all patents in the United States is more than 5 times greater than it was before Bayh-Dole. The situation has gotten so bad that one information technology industry official has publicly referred to universities as, quote, crack addicts, unquote, driven by, quote, small-minded tech transfer offices addicted to patent royalties.
That act gave government workers the right to patent their discoveries, so to claim intellectual property for discoveries that the taxpayer paid for. Ever since that happened in the early 80s, it destroyed science. And this allowed the development of those conflicts of interest. And this is the crime behind letting somebody like Bill Gates with billions of dollars. Nobody elected him. He has no medical background. He has no expertise. But we let people like that have a voice in this country while we destroy the lives of millions of people.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
if we activate mandatory vaccines globally, I imagine these people stand to make hundreds of billions of dollars that own the vaccines.
And they'll kill millions, as they already have with their vaccines. There is no vaccine currently on the schedule for any RNA virus that works.
So I have to ask you, are you anti-vaccine?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, vaccine is immune therapy, just like interferon alpha is immune therapy. So I'm not anti-vaccine. My job is to develop immune therapies. That's what vaccines are.
Do you believe that this virus was created in a laboratory?
I wouldn't use the word created, but you can't say naturally occurring if it was by way of the laboratory. So it's very clear this virus was manipulated, this family of viruses was manipulated and studied in a laboratory where the animals were taken into the laboratory, and this is what was released, whether deliberate or not. That cannot be naturally occurring. Somebody didn't go to a market, get a bat, the virus didn't jump directly to humans. That's not how it works. That's accelerated viral evolution. If it was a natural occurrence, it would take it up to 800 years to occur. This occurred from SARS-1 within a decade. That's not naturally occurring.
And do you have any ideas of where this occurred?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it occurred between the North Carolina laboratories, Fort Detrick, U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease, and the Wuhan laboratory.
$3.7 million flowed from the National Institutes of Health here in the U.S. to the Wuhan lab in China, the same lab where many people have said that this coronavirus infection first originated. We also now know that NIAID, the department associated with the National Institutes of Health, of which Dr. Anthony Fauci is in control, had already been conducting experiments with the Wuhan lab in the past in regard to coronavirus. If Dr. Anthony Fauci cannot be honest with the public about his connection to this lab, then Fauci has to go.
In 1999, I was working in Fort Detrick in USAMRID there, and my job was to teach Ebola how to infect human cells without killing them. Ebola couldn't infect human cells until we took it in the laboratories and talked to him.
It's hard to ignore the death tolls. People have been dying. They are dying from this in quite alarming numbers. How do you reconcile that?
It's pretty easy when you see, for me, when you see what the government has done, and that is that they took, quoting Dr. Birx,
we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality.
If my husband were to die, who has COPD, his lungs have fibrosis, his lungs would look exactly like somebody with COVID-19, theoretically, but he has no evidence of infection. So if you're not testing and you don't have evidence of infection, and if you walked in there today, you know, they'd call it COVID-19. And we hear this from the doctors and nurses who are upset.
I've seen so many doctors online that have made their own webcam videos just perplexed by the protocol that the CDC had given them.
Well, last Friday, I received a 7-page document that sort of told me that if I had an 86-year-old patient that had pneumonia but was never tested for COVID-19, but sometime after she came down with pneumonia, we learned that she had been exposed to her son, who had no symptoms, but later on was identified with COVID-19, that it would be appropriate to diagnose on the death certificate COVID-19.
When I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
Why would they want to skew the number of deaths due to COVID-19?
Well, fear is a great way to control people. And sometimes people's ability to think for themselves is paralyzed if they're frightened enough. And that's not where I want people to be. I want people to say, we're going to get through this. I'm going to use my head. I'm going to go to different sources. I'm going to listen to different sources. And I'm going to think for myself, because that's what America's about.
If someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
You don't die with an infection. you die from an infection.
I've talked with doctors who have admitted that they are being incentivized to list patients that are sick or have died with COVID-19.
Yeah, $13,000 for Medicare, if you call it COVID-19.
Right now, Medicare has determined that if you have a COVID-19 admission to the hospital, you'll get paid $13,000. If that COVID-19 patient goes on a ventilator, you get $39,000, three times as much.
And you've killed them with the ventilator because you gave them the wrong treatment.
All the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue. And I fear that this misguided treatment will lead to a tremendous amount of harm to a great number of people in a very short time.
My next question is about Italy. I want to know why Italy was hit so hard.
Italy has a very old population. They're very sick with inflammatory disorders. They got, at the beginning of 2019, an untested new form of influenza vaccine that had four different strains of influenza, including the highly pathogenic H1N1. That vaccine was grown in a cell line, a dog cell line. Dogs have lots of coronaviruses, and that's why they're not testing there. You could just say, oh, it was that.
As the country begins emerging from the worst of the coronavirus epidemic, one question remains. What happened to all the hydroxychloroquine?
We know that hydroxychloroquine and zinc are working great for patients. And then Fauci comes out and says, well, there's no double-blind controlled placebo study, which, by the way, Dr. Fauci, is there going to be a double-blind controlled placebo study of your vaccine? Is there?
In a survey polling nearly 2,300 doctors in some 30 countries, hydroxychloroquine was ranked as the most effective medication to treat the virus.
The AMA was saying, you know, doctors will lose their license if they use hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malarial drug that's been on the list of essential medicine worldwide for 70 years. Dr. Fauci calls that anecdotal
data.
It's not storytelling if we have thousands of pages of data saying it's effective against these families of viruses. For 50 cents a dose, we could protect 1,000 people for 7 days, two doses a day, with one $600 vial. And that hasn't been done. This is essential medicine, and they keep it from the people. Not only now, but back in autism with our discovery, there was an old antiviral drug, 100-year-old drug called Suramin, on the WHO list of essential medicine. It literally gave kids with autism a voice, a life. What did Bayer and Monsanto do? They took it away from everybody. You couldn't get it to save your life right now. We tried, believe me, every way we could. So when you take away a medicine, and not just the WHO, not just the WHO, the FDA, the CDC, Tony Fauci, close everything. Just end it all, and we've got a healthy world again. And we got tons of money because we can take all that money they're making on their patents and we can give it to the victims of this plague of corruption.
Is it safe to say that anything that cannot be patented has been shut down intentionally because there's no way to profit from it, all these natural remedies that we have had forever?
Absolutely, that's fair to say, and that's exactly what's going on in COVID-19. The game is to prevent the therapies till everyone is infected and push the vaccines, knowing that the flu vaccines increase the odds by 36% of getting COVID-19.
Where does that data come from?
A publication last year where the military who had been vaccinated with influenza were more susceptible to coronaviruses. Coronaviruses are in every animal. So if you've ever had a flu vaccine, you were injected with coronaviruses and then to put on a mask.
This doesn't make any sense. We wear masks in an acute setting to protect us. We're not wearing masks. Why is that? Because we understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. And now I'm at home, hand washing vigorously, washing the counters, worried about things that are indeed what I need to survive.
You're not immunodeficient, and you're not elderly. You should be able to go out without any gloves and without a mask. I think if you are those things, you should either shelter in place or wear a mask and gloves. I don't think everybody needs to wear a mask and gloves because it reduces your bacterial flora. It doesn't allow you to interact with society, and your bacteria flora and your viruses, your friends that protect you from other diseases, end up going away, and now you're more likely to get opportunistic infections, infections that are hoping you don't have your good bugs fighting for you, if that makes sense.
And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike.
I guarantee when we reopen, there's going to be a huge, huge amount of illness that's going to be rampant.
The building blocks of your immune system is virus and bacteria. End of story.
Wearing the mask literally activates your own virus. You're getting sick from your own reactivated coronavirus expressions. And if it happens to be SARS-CoV-2, then you've got a big problem.
You're not the first virologist who has told me that we're doing the exact opposite of what we should be doing to contain and to create immunity from this virus.
Why would you close the beach? You've got sequences in the soil, in the sand. You've got healing microbes in the ocean, in the salt water. That's insanity.
These institutions that are polluting our environment and our bodies, there was a time when they actually had to fight their own battles. But they've done such a great job at manipulating the masses that it's other people shutting down other citizens, and the big tech platforms follow suit and they shut everything down. There is no dissenting voices allowed anymore in this free country, which is something I never thought I would live to see.
Nor would I, except what I've experienced since 2011. It's beyond comprehension how a society can be so fooled that the types of propaganda continue to where they're just driving us to hate each other.
You want to go to work?
Yes.
And get this disease? I think the medical profession know what
they're
talking about.
They've been wrong so far, ma'am. They've been wrong.
Hopefully, this is the wake-up call of all America to realize this makes no sense, and we win because it will take down the whole program with information like this. And for me, it's the great news that the doctors are waking up and saying, wait a minute.
You doctors that are watching this, and I see a lot of you right here, why are you not getting loud? I'm here to defend you. I'm here to defend my freedoms. I'm here to defend my family's freedoms, my patients' rights to choose what to do with their life. I'm just blown away, and I'm blown away why there are not more doctors like me talking about this all over the place. We should be banding together right now. You need to wake up because your liberties are getting taken away from you all because of fake news that's out there. This is wrong. People should be going to jail for this stuff.
So it's not the scientists who are in any way dishonest. They're listening to people who for more than 40 years have controlled who gets funded, what gets published. And I'm sorry to say many, many people will simply take the money and the fame and that support, things that absolutely aren't true.
What do you say to the medical professionals that are just beginning to get a glimpse of the depth to which they have been misled and steered away from their oath to do no harm?
I say forgive yourselves. It's the hardest thing to realize for all of us, and is that with all the best intention, we studied, we learned what we thought was the truth. We had no idea that the data that we were being told was true was not true. We've been taught now in our schools a very different science. You don't get funded if you don't speak the party line. You don't get published. That was probably the hardest thing for me to take, is understanding that scientific journals would twist the discovery that should have healed all.
Will the scientific community have the courage to answer the question of whether these diseases might have been of their own creation? Thank you.
So what we did pretty much ever since I got out of jail, we started an education company. We wake up doctors, and it's very difficult. But every doctor who realized they may have been part of the problem has now turned that around to march toward a better society and restore faith in the promise of medicine. That's all we can do.
Well, Dr. Michovitz, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real honor to sit here with you, and particularly thank you for your courage.
Thank you, Mickey. I appreciate it a lot.
The idea that we are now a few days away from a new administration, given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today, is that there is no question that there will be a surprise outbreak. The thing we're extraordinarily confident about is that we are going to see this in the next few years. Thank you.
I received emails from the people that I sent the link of that video to. And here's what it said. This video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines. Community guidelines. Well, I went to Mickey Willis's Facebook page. I found the following from Mickey. Dear gatekeepers of truth and free speech, before removing this video, please read these words. The world is watching you. We understand the pressure you're under to censor any information that contradicts the popular narrative. We know the risk that comes with defying the orders of those who pull the strings. We realize even the biggest of tech giants are under the command of powerful forces that wield the ability to destroy your empire with the click of a key. But due to the critical condition of our world, quote, I was just doing my job, end quote, is no longer an acceptable excuse. This is no time to play politics. Our future is your future, your family's future, your children's future, your grandchildren's future. This is a plea to the human in you. Preventing this information from reaching the people is taking a firm stance in the wrong side of history, a choice you will certainly live to regret as truth exponentially emerges. There is nothing, no billionaire, no politician, no media, no level of censorship that can slow this awakening. It is here, it is happening. Whose side are you on? And to the citizens of this magnificent planet, if anything is clear at the moment, it is the fact that no one is coming to save us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Though great forces have been working long and hard to divide us, our resilience, strength, and intelligence has been gravely underestimated. Now is the time to pull all differences aside. United we stand, divided we fall. Be brave. Share this video far and wide. Should this video be removed from this platform, download your own copy of it at plandemicmovie.com. Then upload directly to all your favorite platforms. You have our full permission to spread this information without limitation. The second and last video I have for you today is by Pastor Danny Jones of the North Lake Baptist Church in Gainesville, Florida. He exposes the evil players and methods of the New World Satanic Order. This sermon was given on April 19th, and it gives you a spiritual perspective of the pickle that we're in. Stay tuned. I'll have commentary at the end. Thank you.
And we've watched this mystery of iniquity in our time. For at least the last 100 years, billionaire bankers and businessmen have been trying to sell the world on a one world government. After World War I, they tried to establish the League of Nations, and that failed. And then after World War II, they established the United Nations and have dumped billions of dollars into it, trying to build their new world order. And we're almost there. So do I think that the coronavirus is a sign of the end of the world? I don't think so. But I do think this COVID-19 is a drill. It's a simulation. It's a dress rehearsal, if you will, to work out the bugs and get all the nations prepared for this final world government. For the last 3 months, we've watched our globalist leaders manipulate us with the Marxist revolutionary technique known as the Hegelian dialectic. It's a very complicated philosophical thing, but it can actually be salted down to about 3 points. And that is called problem, reaction, solution. The way you change cultures is using problem, reaction, solution. So these globalists, they cause a problem, be it terrorism, a pandemic, or global warming, or whatever they want to come up with. And then they wait for our reaction. Our reaction as people tends to be the same. Oh no, we're all going to die. Somebody do something. And then they have the solution, a prepackaged, ready for us, usually involves more government control of our lives. So let's look at the timetable a little bit. Sometimes it gets blurred with our 24-hour news cycles that go through, but let's look back at the timeline and see the changes that have occurred in the last couple of years that's brought about our current predicament, which for us began on March 15th when President Trump declared a state of emergency for coronavirus. 3 years ago, November the 8th, 2016, Donald Trump shocked the world by winning the presidency of the United States of America. He won this election by promising to make America great again, to put a stop to the globalist agenda, to close our borders, and to quit paying all the bills for United Nations and NATO. Also to stop this man-made global climate change hoax and to stop the one-sided trade deals. He said, I want international trade, but it needs to be fair trade, not with America always being on the other end of the hook there. So once he started all this, immediately the globalist billionaire banking and business class turned on him. The press attacked him. Democrat politicians and Never Trump Republicans began trying to impeach him. That went on for about 3 years. And then once that failed, the next move was coronavirus. Now in the past, it was usually David Rockefeller who was pulling the strings on around the world on these globalist movements, but he died in March 2017. We never did think he would, but he died in March 2017 at 101 years old. And of course, then there's George Soros. He always gets the blame. He's 90 years old. Right now, he's not having much to say, but he is heavily invested in pharmaceuticals. And so it appears that Bill Gates is taking the lead of this billionaire's club move toward a one world order. One of the other elder statesmen of this bunch is Henry Kissinger, who is now 97 years old. And ever since I was a little kid, Henry Kissinger's been on the radio and on the TV talking about his new world order. Anyhow, he wrote an op-ed piece on April the 3rd, rejoicing about how this new world order would lead us to how this coronavirus would lead us to this new world order. So he is so proud of Bill Gates, he said there. So apparently Bill Gates is the anointed one. He is one of the richest globalists today. He's co-founder of Microsoft, who is now working to give away his nearly $100 billion fortune through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. His pet projects are population control and vaccinations. His father was a board member for the abortion provider Planned Parenthood, who helped young Bill understand as he grew up the need for global birth control to save the planet. Vaccinations, strangely, by Bill, are considered a subset of population control. Bill has this theory that if less babies died in infancy, then parents will want fewer children. And so he works all this population control and vaccinations through something called the Good Club. You can look it up on the internet. The Good Club is made up of other globalist billionaires like George Soros, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, the Rockefeller family, the Ted Turner Foundation, etc. 2 years ago, on January the 17th of 2017, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. For those of you who's not aware of what goes on in Davos, they have this January meeting every year where 3,000 of the world's wealthiest people gather every year to figure out how to rule the world. Bill Gates, back in 2017, initiated a new working group called CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. It's a collaboration of the Gates Foundation, the governments of Norway, India, Japan, and Germany, and two big pharmaceutical companies called Inovio and Moderna. They also included DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as the Mad Scientist of the Department of Defense. It also included the Army, U.S. Army's Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, that's the Mad Scientist of the Army, that work out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. This CEPI began working on the next epidemic in 2017. Also at Davos, Gates began working on a Netflix video called Pandemic. Now, as y'all all know, I don't watch movies, but maybe I should have watched this one. It was released in November of last year. The plot of the movie was a coronavirus that originated in a wet market in China, leaving millions of people dead. Wow, what do you think? Is that a coincidence? Is Bill Gates a prophet? Or is it a plan? Last fall, October the 18th, 2019, there was a pandemic exercise called Event 201 at Johns Hopkins University. The exercise was conducted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and Michael Bloomberg's School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. And yes, that's the same Michael Bloomberg that just tried to run against against Donald Trump for President of the United States. The pandemic simulation predicted that the coronavirus would have the same kill rate as the Spanish flu of 1918, which caused around 65 million deaths worldwide in an 18-month period. It's also interesting to note that Dr. George Fugao, the director of the Chinese Centers for Disease Control, was involved in the simulation. October the 18th and lasted through the 27th, the World Military Games were being held, of all places, in Wuhan, China. You had 10,000 athletes from 110 countries. The United States delegation was about 300 people. 2 months later, January the 7th, China reports the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. January the 21st through the 24th was the 2020 annual World Economic Forum gathering in Davos. So the rich guys were back in Davos again in January of this year. And Bill Gates and his CEPI that I just announced, they announced a coronavirus vaccine program with partnerships including Inovio and Moderna and the United States National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is led by none other than Dr. Tony Fauci, who is now the chief medical advisor to President Trump, who you see on TV in these daily briefings that we're getting. He's an interesting character because he wrote in March in the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine that this coronavirus was going to be a nothing, it was going to be similar to the seasonal flu. But when he went in front of the television cameras, he told American people this coronavirus is 10 times worse than the seasonal flu, may kill 2 million Americans if we do nothing. It still may kill 200,000 Americans even if we shut down the country and shelter in place. There's no known vaccine, he said, and it's going to take 12 to 18 months to get a vaccine even ready for trials. And of course, the question is, where did Dr. Fauci get all those numbers? Where did he get the model of the 2 million people and 200,000 people? Well, it turns out that came out of the University of Washington, the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Before the thing was over in Switzerland, we had something going on at the United States Capitol. On January the 24th, United States House of Representatives began drafting a coronavirus stimulus bill called the CARES Act. Yes, the money that you got this past week and deposited into your account actually started the legislative process on January the 24th, which as Americans, we didn't even know there was such a thing as a coronavirus till March, but somebody knew. So somebody in Congress knew it well enough to know that we were going to need relief, and they started a bill back on January the 24th. By the way, January the 24th is also the same time that the Senate was getting an ultra-secret briefing about this, and our new Senator Kelly Loeffler all of a sudden started having some changes made to her investment strategy on Wall Street. January the 30th, the United Nations World Health Organization officially launches a worldwide public health emergency for what they called a novel coronavirus. Even though at that time there was only 150 cases in the world, nevertheless, they knew it was going to be an emergency. By the way, novel means newly discovered, means never seen before, means COVID-19 didn't just come crawling out of the woods. Kind of makes you wonder, where did it come from? January the 31st, President Trump orders a travel ban on anyone traveling from China. 4 days later, January the 4th, the Centers for Disease Control decided not to use the World Health Organization's COVID-19 test kits. They didn't think they were good enough, that we had to come up with our own. So CDC made their own test, and they were defective, had to pull them all off the market. CDC got out some new tests by the end of February, but then there were backlogs taking 1 to 2 weeks for people to find out whether they had it or not. By the way, you may not remember this about my resume, but before the Lord rearranged my life, I was planning on being a doctor. I was a pre-med major at the University of North Georgia, North Georgia College, majored in biology, minored in chemistry. So I went to the CDC website and looked at those test instructions, see what all was involved in doing a coronavirus test. And listen to this, this is a quote from the CDC website. A positive COVID-19 test does not rule out bacterial infections or co-infections with other viruses. Even COVID-19 may not even be the definite cause of the disease. Still, report all positive cases to CDC. Now, in layman terms, what that means is a patient may actually be sick with seasonal flu, or pneumonia, or PD, molecule of COVID-19 DNA in their swab of their throat or their nostrils, then you're going to report that to CDC as a positive case. Well, one of the things that does for you is it definitely pumps up the numbers to make sure that everything that happens out there in the medical field is a COVID-19 case. Well, anyway, the next day, February the 5th, Donald Trump was acquitted on the charges of impeachment. So all this time, we've been watching news about this impeachment, and we knew nothing about this COVID-19 thing that was going on out there in the world. So March the 11th, World Health Organization officially declared the COVID-19 a global pandemic. March the 14th, the Associated Press announced volunteers in Seattle were given the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait a minute. That was made by Moderna, where have we heard that name before? And it was approved by Dr. Fauci's National Institutes of Health. And wait a minute, that's less than 2 months. I thought Dr. Fauci earlier said it takes at least 12 or 18 months to get a vaccine ready for trials. So something's going on there. Anyhow, March 15th, President Trump declares a state of emergency in the United States for COVID-19. And that's when we begin the social distancing, setting 6 feet apart, standing 6 feet apart, no meetings with over 10 people. On March 31st, Bill Gates wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post saying the United States missed the opportunity to get ahead of the coronavirus, so we need to shut down the U.S. economy for at least 10 weeks, which would take us to the end of June. And a week earlier, Bill Gates did a TED Talk interview where he said that once people of the world learn to trust science to solve a pandemic, maybe they'll be ready to trust science to solve climate change. And it kind of makes you wonder, where are we going with this thing? And so now we've moved on in our television narrative. Now the narrative is, who done it? Where did this COVID-19 originate? Chinese leaders are saying that the United States military, who attended the World Games in Wuhan, released it as a bioweapon against China. American leaders are calling it the Wuhan virus and saying that the Chinese released it out of their virology lab in Wuhan in order to affect the world. The truth is probably up in there somewhere. But the trouble is, it's classified, and we will not know the truth for 40 years until it's declassified, and at that point, I will not care. Bottom line, this novel coronavirus, COVID-19, is a manufactured crisis designed to deceive people to accept a radically different world than you and I are used to living in. Now, don't get me wrong, don't go out of here and misquote me. I'm not saying that people don't get sick with coronavirus. I'm not saying that they don't even die with it. The only thing I'm saying is, according to the Centers for Disease Control, who keep up with all these diseases, in an average year in the United States, there are 39 million cases of flu. 39, that's 10%. 39 million cases of flu. And between 30 and 60,000 people die. And I've been living on this planet for 63 years now, and we have never shut down the U.S. economy over that big of a threat and that many deaths. But here we are, for some reason, the powers that be have chosen to shut down America over COVID-19, which we've already said they're cooking the books on it, but right now they've only got 70,000 cases against 39 million cases every year between flu and COVID, And also today, they've got it jacked up to 35,000 deaths, but still that's considered a low flu year. So once again, why did we shut down the economy? I believe we are being deceived and manipulated. And the question is why are we being deceived and where are we going with this? Well, according to the prophet Daniel and the apostle Paul, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. We're watching people who have been deceived by Satan because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're changing Christian customs, culture, traditions, and laws all across our land to prepare the way for a future Antichrist. I don't know if he's right around the corner. I don't know when the Antichrist will appear, but nevertheless, the stage is being set. And we've seen a lot of changes just in the last month. As Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and former White House chief of staff under President Obama, used to say, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And brothers and sisters, they're not wasting this one. We have watched our leaders transform this COVID-19 coronavirus from being just another virus into a crisis, into an epidemic, into a public health emergency, into a global pandemic. Now, I want you to stop because, again, we get caught up in the day-to-day 24-hour news cycle, but stop and think about all the changes that we have accepted in about a month's period of time. We'll start off with the first thing they had to do, and that was to verify the power of the press. Make sure that those five corporations that control 90% of what we see and hear in the media still have the ability to put everybody in a panic. And of course, we're talking about CNN, Time Warner, ABC, Disney, Fox News Corp, CBS, Viacom, NBC, Comcast. These networks bring on experts whose job it is to convince us that we need to give up our liberty or we're all going to die. They bring on globalist experts who explain that global problems require global solutions. I've heard that a half a dozen times, sometimes daily. They tell us the world is too complicated for any nation, even something as great as the United Nations. We can't fix this by ourselves. We need a one world solution to our problems. They bring on experts who tell us that we need to quit being ignorant and listen to science, listen to the experts, listen to the technocrats. They alone know how to fix pandemics. They alone know how to fix climate change. Another one of the great changes that we've seen, and I've never seen in my time, is called social distancing. 6 feet between individuals, no gatherings larger than 10 people, order people off the streets and confined to their homes. This is a trial run at martial law, but it turns out they never needed martial law because most Americans submitted voluntarily. But governors have ordered up police, deputized government workers, and deployed National Guard just in case we the people get sick and tired of this and rebel. And to further add to the rumors of a police state, our governor in Georgia set up a telephone hotline so you can call and rat out your neighbors who are not complying with lockdown orders. That sounds more like Russia or China than it does the United States of America. The next big change is crashing the capitalist economy. Following these social distancing guidelines, we have watched 22 million Americans lose their jobs. We've seen the stock market drop 10,000 points. We've seen our retirement savings vanish and go down the drain. We've watched the government take charge of the means of production, which is a classic definition of socialism. We got the government using executive orders, loans, and grants in order to pick which businesses will win and which businesses will lose. Another big change that's come out of this is they've made the church irrelevant, or should I say more irrelevant than what we already were. In times past, when America went into a crisis, they would call the people of God to pray. That's not what we're hearing now. We're hearing we need doctors, we need scientists, we need people to tell us how to do this. We don't need God, we don't need churches in prayer. Churches are listed among non-essential businesses. Pastors are not allowed to visit sick members in hospitals or nursing homes. The Christian tradition of handshaking with the right hand of fellowship is forbidden. Churches are not allowed to assemble, which is a violation of our First Amendment right, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion. Not to mention it's also a violation of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which says, "Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." Our sermons and our Sunday school classes are forced online, which means that all of our words are being saved and stored in the National Security Agency's new and huge data center in Utah, which, as long as we have a government that's okay with Christianity, is okay. But what if our new world government is more like China? Then our very own words will be used against us in a criminal trial. So NSA, if you're listening, there it is. And so now the government is offering free money to churches. Never mind the fact that using taxpayer money to prop up churches who are in debt is a violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. As our minister of music, Derek, often says, with the shekels comes the shackles. Whoever takes government money will ultimately take government regulations. And I don't think we want to do that at North Lake, at least not on my watch. Another change, cashless society. This is one of the globalist dreams and has been for years, to get rid of cash, use digital currency to be able to monitor and control the flow of money around the world. Korea, which was one of the first nations outside of China to be infected with this disease, they pulled in all their cash to sanitize it because the World Health Organization said cash was just crawling with coronavirus. They required all their people to buy their things with credit cards and their iPhones. In the United States, Speaker Pelosi's first corona relief house bill called for using digital dollars in order to give people their money that went out last week. Of course, you remember the Democrat House bill didn't pass, but the Republicans modified it, and they did pass a bill that didn't have digital dollars in it. But we're already seeing, pushing it through the IRS, there was all kinds of problems. We had money going to the wrong people, going to the wrong banks. Had some fireman, I think, here in Hall County got $7 million check last week. I mean, it was strange, I guess, just to prove that it's not going to work that way. So now we have a Senate subcommittee on banking that's working on the details of how to give any future money to Americans in digital money instead of cash. Speaking of government giving out money, one of the goals of this New World Order is universal basic income, where you get paid to do nothing. You don't have to work for money. The government decides what you need. I guess giving $1,200 to every adult and $500 to every child was a good test run. Interesting article in Bloomberg News on April the 5th. Spain is using the coronavirus crisis to roll out its universal basic income system. So apparently some of our nations know what's up with this. As Trump was signing in the $2 trillion relief bill, he said that the final cost of all these programs will probably be $6 trillion. Now, brothers and sisters, this may sound good for us to be getting all this free money, but the thing you got to remember is no such thing as a free lunch. It will come due at some point. I believe by the time we get to the November elections, our national debt will be over $30 trillion. And just the interest on that debt will take up 15% of our federal budget. Think about that. 15% of your tax dollars will be going to empower international bankers who are holding our debt. Now, I could go on, but look at the hour. So let me conclude with another little notice change. This one happened around Christmas. On December the 23rd, 2019, the prestigious Scientific American magazine reported that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, had developed a biometric tattoo where a nanochip can be injected into your forearm at the same time you're being vaccinated. Therefore, your arm can be scanned to reveal your identity, your vaccinations, maybe even your medical records. The biometric tattoo program is part of a bigger plan called ID 2020 that was also announced this January at the World Economic Forum in Davos, again sponsored by the Bill Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, and several other billionaire organizations. These compassionate billionaires advertise this as being a special tool to help poor little children in undeveloped countries who are in a crisis when there's a war or famine or something like that. They have to run to some other country, and you don't know, they don't carry papers with them, so you don't know whether they've had their shots or not. So all they got to do is scan their little forearm and know whether they've had their shots or not. Sounds very compassionate. But then you read on down the article, they also mentioned that these tattoos would be a great screening tool for people at airports, border crossings, schools, healthcare facilities, government buildings, and sports facilities. Brothers and sisters, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now, I know for those of you that are still watching by television, hadn't turned it off yet. After one of my conspiracy theory prophecy sermons that I do from time to time, I'm often asked, well, Brother Danny, well, what can we do about it? I mean, you preach a sermon to scare us all to death. Well, what can we do about it? Are there some politicians that we can call to stop this thing? And the answer to that is I don't think so, because I think this train left the station a long time ago. The real question is not what can we do. The real question is going to be, what will you do? If this coronavirus makes its second or third wave around the world like the experts are predicting, and the Bill Gates vaccine is magically ready, and they offer you the vaccine, but in order to get the vaccine, you also have to receive the biometric tattoo. Will you take it? If not, you probably won't be able to go to work or to school or the grocery store or to the bank. In the grand scheme of things, it'll probably not be a non-Christian thing if you accept that tattoo. A vaccine tattoo will probably be okay. But later on, if we carry out this philosophy to Revelation chapter 13, when it's not just about a vaccine, but when you're required to swear allegiance and be willing to worship the exalted leader of the United Nations, or whatever the name is called at that point, to prove your loyalty to the UN, then you must take this biometric tattoo. And if you don't take it, then you won't be able to buy or sell or travel or get health care. What then? You're probably saying, Danny, I think this is a little extreme. I don't think this can happen. Sure, it can happen. It's happened before in history, even in some non-techie times. In ancient Rome, under the Roman Caesar Domitian, who happened to be in charge when John wrote the book of Revelation, he forced people to offer a sacrifice once a year of incense. It was just a little pinch. It wasn't much incense, just a little bit. All you had to do is pitch it into the fire and say, Caesar's Lord. That's it. And you're a good Roman citizen, and life goes merrily along. But that was a problem for some folks called Christians. They refused to take the pinch of incense and pitch it in the fire, and they refused to say, Caesar is Lord. Instead, they said, Jesus is Lord. And they and their families were thrown to the lions.
I want to share an article with you by Jeffrey Greider. It's titled, Shock, as it's revealed an enzyme called luciferase, or luciferase, is what makes Bill Gates' implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccine delivery system work. Yes, the enzyme is luciferase. And the title of his system here, if you just take off human, which is called implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. This is crazy. If you look at that and look at this addition and the what each letter's worth, you know that in the Bible it talks about in the end times there'll be a mark. Its number is 666. It will be implanted. And numbers can be derived by taking a word or words and taking the numeric value or where they fall in the alphabet. That's been done for millennial, thousands of years. But anyway, this totals up to 666. I'm not saying it's the mark of the beast. As you know, I was fired from my teaching job in 2000 for not enforcing barcoded IDs, the wearing of barcoded IDs at Elkins High School. The Rutherford Institute that takes Christian cases took my case, and I was exonerated. I was reinstated. I was given my benefits back. And at that time, I never said that the barcode that the students were wearing was the mark of the beast, okay? I just said it was leading to a police state and conditioning for the mark of the beast. But some people said it was the mark of the beast. So, just like in that situation, I'm not claiming that luciferase or this implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system is the mark of the beast. But it's amazing to see the corollaries. Thanks for tuning in. Please tell your neighbors about this program. It will be on for the foreseeable future, and I will be covering the tough topics. So, God bless. This is Phil Hudak. I'll catch you later. Bye.